All right, good morning, Gateway. Before Pastor Sean brings us a message this morning, Mike has a prophetic word to bring to us for 2020.
Good morning, everybody. All right, bear with me as I bring this out, because what God has laid on my heart, and I'll share an image that he gave me this morning and then go from there. But he talked to me about how sometimes in Proverbs he says to harvest in the summer, to grab hold of in the summer what others would be waiting for in the harvest. And he showed me a picture of a basket held high and a hand reaching up and grabbing, and there's an expectation and there's joy. But what God has said is that the word for this year to grab hold of is to proclaim. And that is not just to declare, it's not just to say, it's to realize that to claim is something that is already yours. You lay claim on something. You grab hold of it and you say, this is mine. And you know that it's both the noun that it is your claim, like that's my claim, that's my land, that's my place. But it's also to take hold of that. But to proclaim is to take hold of before it's time, that whatever God has put on your heart that you might be thinking might take years to come, God is saying, reach forward and proclaim. Take hold of that now. Take the future to the now. Bring his blessing that he has already declared for you. Reach up into the basket that he is holding for you and trust and know that what he has for you is greater than what you could ever expect, greater than what you could ever think of, greater than what you could ever ask for. But the word, when you stand forth and you realize that the word proclaim was used when God said, let there be light. Light was in him. And he let us see it. He called it forth. And that is what he's declaring for this year, that if there's something he's placed on your heart, to stop thinking it might come in the future, but to realize that in Jesus' name, you can take hold of his blessing now and grab hold of it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Father, we thank you so much that there is no time in you, that you hold all things, that the future is now for us. We thank you that you have declared such great blessing in Christ Jesus. We declare that you have declared such things for us to take hold of that we can never imagine, that you could do far exceedingly abundantly all that we could ever ask or think. And you are saying now as a good father, reach up and take hold of the surprise I have for you. And so, Father, we just pray that this church would take hold of that and that they would know the difference between seeing and watching is that people get to see what you've done, but those who are watching for it get to see it first. Those who have an expectation for the good you will do will see it when it happens, not when others hear about it. And we'll be able to take that testimony forward and advance your kingdom and give glory to you in the name of Jesus. Let that fall upon this church and let's grab hold of it and see it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thanks, Mike. That was really good. You guys are going to hold on to that, okay? Yes, please. Okay. All right. We've actually been talking about vision for some time now. I mean, it's the beginning of the year, and I really think it's important that everyone has a vision for. I mean, that everyone kind of grabs a hold of the vision that God has for the church, but individually, that you would just have a vision for what God wants to do with your own life as well. The Bible says He didn't just save you; He's called you to a holy calling. I think it's really important that we take a hold of that. But I think that sometimes it's really hard to take a hold of the bigger picture. And what God is doing in the earth and what God is doing in his church when you can't see your place in it. And I think it's really important that we can see and kind of visualize our place in the kingdom of God and what he's doing in the world. That you have a purpose and God has a plan for your life, and it's just so important that we take a hold of that. You know, it says in Romans 8:19, and I shared this 2 weeks ago when we were talking about vision, and we've kind of made it a habit to speak about vision at the start of every new year. And because I don't know, resolutions, they don't seem to work for me. But hopefully they're working for you. But it says it's Romans 8:19, it says that all of creation waits with eager longing for the unveiling of the sons of God. And that God is like all of creation is waiting for this. Just they're waiting for you to kind of wake up to the reality that God has called you to something. And when you get a hold of what God has, it's like when you kind of get this picture or this dream for your own life, what God wants to do with you, it enables us to take hold of the bigger picture of what God is doing in the earth today. And I think it's a privilege that we get to be a part and we get to build the very thing that Jesus said that he's building, which is his church. Amen. And, you know, I don't want to downplay, I'm all for online church. I think it's great, and I think we need to keep up with the times, and I think technology is important. But I just want you to understand the value of what takes place here. And I just think that there is a corporate anointing and experience that takes place inside the local church when the saints of Jesus, they gather together as one to lift up the name of Jesus. Like There's just something that's here and now and present that you can't get from a TV screen or from a computer screen, and that you would value what we do here because there is healing and there is power in the name of Jesus. And when we gather like this, it's amazing what can actually take place and to have that expectation. But you know, above just seeing church as, I mean, this is important. This is what we do. This is what we gather. We gather to exalt the name of Jesus, and there's something so special and so anointed that's there. But that you never see church as a place that's just building a building or building an organization. That you'd see this place as we are about building people. And it's about building faith, hope, and love into people. Because God's doing something in you, and we also want to invest in that because we're part of something that's so much grander than ourselves. And you know, there's a lot in this world where we, you know, people just get used and abused by things just as a kind of means to an end. But it's really powerful when there exist people in your life that you know are for you. They stand out a lot brighter than other people. And we're meant to be the light of the world. We're meant to be the salt to the earth. And light speaks about color, and salt speaks about flavor. And we are meant to be the light and the color and the flavor of heaven to the world. And we're meant to be for people. And I think this is really what the kingdom of God and the church is all meant to be about. It's about being for people. And so, you know, with all the New Year's resolutions that we can make, and we kind of set our minds on this hopeful expectation of change and, I guess, prosperity and just discipline and working out. And I hope your resolutions are going well. But I think everyone longs for change and transformation. But, you know, sometimes it's hard to experience that when, I mean, we've experienced a new year, I guess. The digits have changed. But sometimes it's hard to grab a hold of something new when something old just keeps on occurring in your life. And so how does transformation occur? And we're going to do this series called Renew Your Mind. And it's come from this scripture I'm going to be reading this morning from Romans chapter 12. But if you've been in this church for a while now, you've heard this from me before. But if you're new, this is just so important because this word repentance has everything to do with transformation. And it's all about changing the way you think. This word repentance, it comes from this word metanoia, which literally means change what you know or change how you think, is rethink things. And so when Jesus came and he started his ministry, he began by preaching. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Where it means change how you think about things. Like if you're going to grab a hold of the kingdom of God, we have to change how we think about it. And sometimes, you know, we have misconceptions about God. We have misconceptions about life that keep us back from actually taking a hold of what God has for us. And so I hope this series blesses you. It's just changing and tweaking how we think about things to really grab a hold of what God has in store for us. And so I'm gonna read two verses for you. You guys can handle two verses, I'm sure. So it's Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 1. And it goes like this. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So what I'm going to do this morning is you did good. Two verses. That was great. What I'm going to do this morning is I'm basically just going to exegete this scripture. I'm really just going to work on verse 1, and we're just going to kind of take it segment by segment. I've never really preached like this before, but we're going to kind of do this segment by segment. I'm just going to explain some things to you. Good? We're going to do it anyway, so it doesn't matter. So here we go. So it says like this. It says, I appeal to you, or I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, it should be, by the mercies, a better word for mercies is compassion, by the compassion of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, I looked up this word bodies, and it actually has quite an array of meanings and understandings behind this word bodies here, because there's like these two Greek words that are used, and their meanings and understandings kind of carry over into one another. And the first part of it is this, it's your circumstances, your conditions, your experiences, and your welfare. So this is what we're talking about here. It's more than just your body. It's your circumstances, your conditions, your experiences, and your welfare. And the second part of it is your person, your being, your personal. It's your body, but it's also your substance. It's what you're made of through and through, okay? And so it should really read like this: I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the compassion of God, to present the condition of yourselves, which means no faking it. It means be real. It means be honest, be authentic. I mean, basically, it's saying, it's taking all that you are. This is like, here I am, God. This is where I am. This is what's going on in my life. And I'm just going to present it before you. And it's taking what you think you know, because I think people think they know more than they really do. So it's taking what you think you know and what you definitely aren't sure of. It's taking all of your strengths and weaknesses, all your failures and successes, and it's kind of just bringing them all before God. It's just being so real. And which really translates to being transparent. And it translates to being vulnerable. And, you know, we oftentimes, we talk about the power of God and the awesomeness of God and how incredible he is, but we don't really talk enough about the vulnerability of God. And how his most powerful moment in the earth, where his love is expressed so thoroughly, is in the most vulnerable moment of his life, where he's offered up on the cross. And it's through that vulnerability that so many people are blessed. You'll never be blessed, and you can never really be a blessing if you don't open up and be vulnerable. And people are really scared to do that because they're afraid of being judged. And I just want you to know here, and we're going to keep on expressing that here, is that if you think this place is a place for perfect people, you are so in the wrong place, because we are all on a journey. And it's so inappropriate to judge people who are in a different part of that, a different part of a journey than you are. It's so important that we kind of look like, I can't judge my children. You can't judge your children because they're not in the same line of spiritual maturity as you. That's incredibly spiritually immature to do, okay? It's about recognizing where people are at, being for them, lending a helping hand, and helping them along the way. And you really only get that when you actually can be vulnerable with people and actually be, it's this mutual vulnerability that takes place. When people share where they're at and where they've been, it blesses other people. When people withhold and kind of contain and they're afraid to shed a light on things, no one's blessed by that. And so it's so important that we're just vulnerable and transparent. And it's amazing what takes place through it. And I think we as Christians, we too often fall into the lie that God desires your performance above your heart, which is so not true. I mean, regardless of where your heart is at, he desires your heart way above your performance. The church, it exists to build people. Faith, hope, and love into people. And it simply starts with just being real, because God is not moved by your perfection, and he could care less how well you play the part. He can see everything through and through, so you might as well just be real. You guys with me this morning? And so it reads like this: I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the compassion of God, to just be real, to present your condition, your welfare, your experiences, your circumstances. Present it all before God, and just be real. Amen. And then it goes like this, and this is the part that hurts, and I'm sorry, not sorry, it's just what it is, but presents your conditions, the condition of your person, as a living sacrifice. And this is weird, because sacrifices don't usually get blessed. It's the imagery is really weird, because sacrifices in the Old Testament, they didn't go on living, you know? They kind of ate the dust. they died. But this, the imagery here is just really significant, because it's a sacrifice with life in mind. And just as a show of hands here this morning, who likes clutter? Do you guys like clutter? No one? Who dislikes clutter? Okay. Maybe there's some hands. Okay. There's someone just like shot up really quickly. Okay. So it's the same thing in the other campus as well. It's like, boom, I hate clutter. And I hate clutter, okay? Especially in our living areas. And there's a reason why God gave me 4 kids, all right? I love you. So like, you know, I just hate clutter, right? And so, And we'll go through the house, and sometimes when they're at school and they don't realize it, we'll go into their rooms and just look at all the garbage that they collect, right? And so, and I throw things out, and I get in trouble for that, and I'm learning my lesson not to do that. But like, you know, we go into the room sometimes, and there's like slime underneath their bed, right? And it's just like, it's in the carpet. It's like, who buys slime? You know, and when people buy slime for my kids, I question their love for me. I really do. Like, I was like, don't buy my kid slime, okay? You can keep the slime. And it's the same thing with noisy toys, right? My house is noisy enough. I don't need noisy toys, okay? With those guns that make all those weird noises, I don't need them, okay? If you buy something like that, I'm going to question your love for me as well, okay? Just so you all know, because birthday season is coming up, and I really don't want those things, okay? It's like, we never planned it this way, but March, April, May, June, that's my kids' birthdays. That's the part of the year that I'm broke, okay? So, like, we don't need any more stuff, all right? Especially slime and noisy toys, please don't, okay? You'll see it packaged at your front door. Here you go. So, but, you know, I don't think they play this anymore, but they used to. There was this TV series where they would, it was about people with the hoarding disorder. You know you live in a first world country when you have TVs about people with hoarding disorders. And I, you know, it was crazy to watch, and my heart really went out to them because the hoarding is not really the problem. It's a product of the problem, right? And you kind of have to wonder, it's like, what do these people go through that would get them to this place where they can't get rid of stuff? And no joke, these people would be, if you've never seen it before, people are like invited into their houses, and they come inside, and it's just wall-to-wall, just stuff, floor to ceiling, right? And some of them, there's like dead pets in certain rooms. No joke, okay? Dead rats and all this type of stuff. It's crazy, it's sick, and I don't know how they can deal with the smell. And these people come in, and they're trying to get them to understand the value of sacrificing stuff. Like, if you just get rid of stuff, you might experience some more freedom and some more life. And these people, and so they come into the house, and from the outside, everything can look fine, right? Like, everything looks fine from the outside, but you come inside the house, it's like you really see the story behind what's really going on here. And they come in, and I guess it must be terrifying for these people to have this disorder, because they're basically opening up their lives, right? To these strangers, really. And they come in, and now they're trying to encourage them to get rid of stuff. And so there's the transparency, but there's really no vulnerability. And they come in, and it's like they'll lock off certain rooms. The homeowner will lock off certain closets and rooms. Like, no, I don't want you going there. I don't want you to touch my stuff. Like, they can't get rid of this. Like I said, my heart goes out to them, because you kind of wonder, like, what is it that they went through in their lives that led them to this point where they just can't let go of anything? I mean, sometimes in life, the only way that you move forward is by letting go. And I think we're in a similar way, we do the same thing with God. And sometimes we let him in, but we don't want to be real with him. And what we discover is that in order to really know life and really, like, truly live, the imprisoned homeowner has to make a sacrifice. But it's like this, it's this living sacrifice. It's this sacrifice with life in mind. You know, because all the messy and the chaoticness of life, it's unpredictable. We end up living with regret and disappointment, and these are the things that we tend to end up hoarding. It's not really about the problem. It's not about what happened to you. It's not about the traumatic experience that took place. It's really about the things that we end up getting so cluttered in our lives because of it, the products of it. It's the fear and the anxiety, and it's the depression that we live with that kind of just builds up over time and gets cluttered in our lives over time. And what ends up happening is just like, that becomes the lens through which you look at this world and you look at yourselves. It kind of like takes over in the mind and the heart. And like, it keeps people from transformation. It keeps people from the freedom and the life that people want, that God wants for them. And so, like, there's this sacrifice that needs to take place. And you know, it's like, I don't think that, you know, letting God into your life and being this living sacrifice and just being real and vulnerable with him, I don't think he comes in just to erase your past. Like, I don't think God does that. I don't think he comes in to erase your past or to say, like, oh, that never happened before, and he just removes that. That doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't compute. You know, people have this belief that when they get to heaven, they're going to be instantly perfected, and then everything that they've been through here on earth, you don't remember. Doesn't make any sense to me. Because, I mean, if we're going to get to heaven and be instantly perfected and everything else was going to be forgotten, then why the heck did I go through all this stuff here on earth if it was going to be for nothing? Right? I mean, it means something. It matters that you actually go through things because you can't learn compassion in a place where everyone's compassionate. You can't learn generosity when you're in a place where everyone's generous. Like, you can't learn, there are things you can learn here that you can't learn there. And the things that we go through here, it matters. It does something in your heart and your spirits when you actually go through things in life. You know, you look at the different promises of God in the Scripture. There's something like 7,400 promises of God in Scripture. I didn't do the counting. I read that somewhere. But still, I mean, 7,400 promises. And all of them are given during times of difficulty. And the one thing that Jesus does promises in John 16:33, which I hate, he says, you're going to have trouble. It's like, thanks, Jesus, right? Aren't you glad you came to church today, right? This is like, you're going to have trouble. That's what's going to, I mean, this is the reality of life. Come on, if we're not going to be real about life, we're going to miss out on what God is doing through this age in our lives. We really are. This is why we need each other. This is why we have to be for each other. This is what the church exists for. This is why vulnerability is so important. It's about being real and authentic and just helping people wherever they are on their journey and not judging them for it. You guys with me? You know, it's not about erasing your past. It's about seeing it differently. It's not about your past. It's not about your present. And it's not about what you're worried about in your future. It's about your outlook. It's about the way you see things. The Bible says you're transformed by the renewal of your mind. You know, faith, hope, and love is what we want to build into people, not because it's just a condition of the heart. It's because they are the lenses through which God wants you to see this world. They are. You know, when you look at difficulties, that you'd see them as opportunities. When you look at enemies, that you'd see God's love for them. It's the way we see things. We don't often go through life seeing things this way. It's about having a vision for 2020. It's about seeing things differently. It's about seeing your problems differently. It's about seeing your traumatic experiences differently. That can produce something in you. It's going to bless you in eternity. You know, the life's biggest battles, they are never external. They're always internal. The battlefield is always here and here. Because the greatest victories that God's preparing you for are not taking place around you. They're taking place within inside of you. I hope this makes sense. And so there's the sacrifice that's needed. But it's a sacrifice with life in mind. You have to put what caused the fear and the shame and the disappointment on the altar. Are you just going to live cluttered with crap? I'm sorry, excuse my French. No, it's just like, I never took French. And metaphorically speaking, like, we got to put things on the altar. Like, sometimes it's about just, making a sacrifice is about forgiving people who have hurt you and have no intention of doing any better. It's about forgiving people even when they haven't taken responsibility for their actions. Because you don't need to hoard unforgiveness. You really don't. You know, sometimes making a sacrifice is about letting a debt go and believing that no one owes you anything. Okay? Are you going to go through life believing, oh, I'm owed? It's not going to be well with you. That's when you live as a victim rather than a victor. No one owes you anything. That's the way we need to live. Even when things are done to us, it's believing that you're not the victim. You are the victor. Sometimes making a living sacrifice, you know, it's about praising God in the midst of your problem. And that is called a sacrifice of praise. It's about thanking God and counting all your blessings when you've just suffered loss. It's about getting up and trying again in the midst of disappointment. Just try differently this time. Right? Sometimes you live and sometimes you learn. And I think that this is a big one for me. It's continuing to believe that God is good, even when it doesn't feel like he's good. Your heart, it just can't afford to not see God as good. It just won't be well with you. And so come what may, I'm going to believe. in the goodness of God. Right? I would rather just be an optimistic fool, right? I'd rather be an optimistic fool than a pessimistic Grinch. I really would. I'm just going to believe God's good and nothing changes that. Amen. And I think when we don't make that living sacrifice, we end up with hearts and minds just cluttered with fear and anxiety and disappointment and depression. And they begin to dictate the way we see things and see the world, and you begin to see yourself in a certain light. But when you can make this sacrifice, this living sacrifice, we position ourselves for this perspective of faith, hope, and love. And it positions us to see our difficulties and problems and disappointments differently. And it declares to them, you don't have the same power over me any longer. And so it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the compassion of God, to present the condition of everything about you as this living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable. This type of sacrifice is this type of sacrifice that God desires of you. It's not just the best thing you can do for yourself. It's the best thing you can do for God. You know, oftentimes we would rather just like write a little offering. Like, here's a little offering, God, or I'll give you some of my time here. I'll do some good work over here. But it doesn't change anything. And it's not costly enough. Sometimes we'd rather give a little offering than a sacrifice because, I mean, it's not fun. And a lot of times we just kind of hoard the things that are in our hearts and minds, and we're afraid to let go, and so we never move forward. We hold on to our stuff. Meanwhile, Jesus, he purchased it all at the cross. And, you know, sometimes we become attached to the things that we have held on to. And over time, what ends up happening is we develop identity around those attachments. And identity attachments are real dangerous stuff. When you hold on to things, you become identified with it. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. And so this sacrifice is holy. And holy comes from this word in the Hebrew, to cut. It's to split, in essence. It's separated as unto. And so when you are making and you're making yourself a living sacrifice and putting things on the altar that have kept you back and kept you seeing things in a wrong fashion, the sacrifice is holy. It's separated as unto. And so what you're doing is you're creating a divorce in your identity between what you were once associated with and who you are now associated with now. That's why in Christ Jesus, right, the old has passed. Behold, the new has come. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is a holy living sacrifice because you are now being separated unto Jesus, and you're declaring to your disappointments and trauma and whatever may have occurred in your life, you no longer wield power over me any longer. And what's also wonderful about this is not just holy, but it's acceptable, it says. And the word acceptable just does not have the right ring. Because when my kids bring me pictures and my daughter likes to make me, you know, clay figurines and stuff, and she's brilliant at it too, but she brings it to me, I don't go, well, that's acceptable. I don't do that, okay? I mean, that's like wrong. It sounds wrong, right? That's just acceptable. Okay, it's the wrong meaning behind it. This word acceptable comes from two words here, which I'll butcher if I say, but it's well and pleasing. Like God's just saying, I'm so pleased by this. What you've given up, I'm so pleased by this. I can work with this. I love this. And I think a lot of times, because of our wrong view of God, we see God as this God who can't look on sin, which is absolutely ridiculous. We have one scripture verse in the Bible that says he can't look on sin. And as you read a little bit further, it says, but he does look on sin. So no one focuses on that, right? And so we have this view of God where he can't look on sin, and his wrath burns against imperfect people. It's no wonder we are afraid to approach and be vulnerable with them, which is why people get so stuck in their kind of sin-confess lifestyle. They don't experience the freedom that God wants. That's not who God is. And I hate it when people talk about him that way. You know, I think the reason why there's such depravity in some of the world is you look at their view of God and you can understand why there's such depravity. It's just because of their view of God, it's just so off, which is why the most important thing about you, and we're going to talk about this more in this series, we have to, we got to just keep on talking about this, is the way that you see God is the most important thing about your life. And we have this view of God, and we're afraid to approach him because we think he's looking for perfect people, and no one's perfect. And meanwhile, Jesus, he came to make the Father known. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's why if you want to get to know the Father, you always look at the Son. And Jesus says, and Jesus, he was numbered amongst the sinners. He was called a friend of sinners. He ate with them. He loved them. He transformed their lives. And while we were yet sinners, he's displaying the Father's love. This is who he is. We're supposed to approach the throne of grace with confidence, not timidity, because of who he is. This God of immense love for everyone. I can't believe he loves some of you. No, I'm just kidding. Like, come on. I mean, it's amazing how he's working in every person's life. I'm just amazed by that. How he loves every single person. And we're supposed to see people that same way. I want you to love people the way I've loved you. Oh, my gosh. That's not easy. God is just, he's so pleased when we make ourselves a living sacrifice before him. In fact, he says, so pleased. He says, this is your spiritual worship. And I looked up this phrase, spiritual worship, and it doesn't mean spiritual worship at all. spiritual comes from the word logos, which is it says in the beginning, in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word, the logos, and the word became flesh. It's the logos, which is the logic of God. It means reasonable. It means rational. It means logical. That works so well for me since I'm a dude, right? Like I just, that's okay. Wait, that came out wrong. So anyway, we're just going to move on. And then the part with worship, it doesn't come from the Greek word proskuneo, which is to kiss towards. It comes from this other word, which I'll butcher if I say, but it means service. Your reasonable, rational, logical service. I mean, if we're not growing in spiritual maturity, which is really just about faith, becoming more people who can see things with faith, hope, and love, if we're being held back from what God has for us, if we're just seeing our lives cluttered and with fear, and we're fighting depression constantly, and we're just so involved in stinking thinking, and it doesn't seem like we can break these patterns. Maybe the most rational, reasonable, logical service that you can do is offer what's caused all that, your pain, your disappointments, and just offer it to God. Maybe that's the most reasonable thing you can do. Maybe that will bring some, and I really do, I think this is where the change begins. And it's supernatural. Like there's just healing in it when you can just be vulnerable. You with me this morning? I hope this is making sense. I mean, if all of creation is waiting for the unveiling of the children of God, if God didn't just save you, but he called you, maybe the best thing you can do for your life and the best thing you can do for God, the most reasonable, rational, logical service that you can do, is live as a sacrifice before him. Just fully surrender to him. Sometimes we just surrender our lives, which in essence is what worship is. It's about just surrendering your life to him. You know, I just pray that in 2020 and moving on from here, that this would be a year of incredible spiritual growth where you begin to see more and more just this world that we live in, and the people around us, and even yourself, through the lenses of faith, hope, and love. And it says, don't be conformed to this world. Like, don't fit into it so easy. Like, everyone can, it's so easy to live depressed. Anyone can do that, right? It's like, oh, I'm depressed. Well, that's easy. Anyone can live depressed. Anyone can live feeling guilty. Anyone can live in shame. That's easy. Anyone can live with stinking thinking. That's easy. But man, living as a sacrifice and turning the other cheek and loving your enemies and remaining full of faith when you really shouldn't, right? Or being full of hope and great expectation when everything around you is just garbage, and having joy in the midst of tribulation and peace when you're in the midst of some terrible difficulty, that's tough. That's kingdom life, and that's what this world needs. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's see this world differently. Let's see people differently. Let's see ourselves differently. And let's take hold of the kingdom of God. Amen. Repent. Change how you think. The kingdom of God is at hand. Let's stand. Let me pray for you. And we have the worship team come on up.